Or, you know, like, I'm never quick to open up that envelope, you know? Always, Lord, where does that go? And Lord, what is the prayer? And Lord, it's special to me, and I know it's, you know, it's something of value to you. Money is a value, so we learned a little bit about that this weekend. And, you know that it's noted in my heart, so thank you very, very much. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Before I start sharing what the Lord gave me, there was something that I heard this morning, man, and I thought it was really, really awesome because I know, for me personally, that I do not rejoice and really understand always the fullness of the price that Jesus paid for me. And I don't understand the fullness of the price that the ransom that was given on my behalf, the blood that was shed for my sin, for my sin. And I don't believe, after hearing this morning, that I rejoice in that enough, because this is what I heard. On Christian radio, the preacher was talking about in Leviticus where, you know, you got the two goats, right? And one goat gets the, and the other goat is the scapegoat, right? The goat that gets set free in the wilderness. And most of us have heard that before about the goat that gets, and the goat that gets set free in the wilderness. But what I did not hear, and I did not know, because you have to go, and this preacher went to Jerusalem to learn this, but what ended up happening was he went there, and a tour guide took him to these signal fire sites. And what these signal fire sites, he went to one, then he went to another, then he went to another, then he went to another, and I don't know, there's some kind of Lord of the Rings movie or some sort of Viking movie or something that does this thing. But, you know, in these countries where you don't have internet, cell phone, and in the days of old when they didn't have those type of signaling devices, they would light fires from hill to hill. You know, you light the signal fire, it goes up, and the next guy lights his fire, it goes up, and the next guy lights his fire, until finally that signal gets back to where it needs to go, and it carries some sort of message. So at the one time a year when they do the two goats, when you have the goat that sacrificed and you have the scapegoat is set free into the wilderness, and somehow that scapegoat gets followed and monitored until you cannot see the scapegoat no more. And when they cannot see the scapegoat no more, the single fireplace that's furthest away from the last spot where that scapegoat was seen, that fire goes up. Woof. And then the next fire goes up on the next hill. Woof. And the next fire, and then the next fire. And all these fires, these single fires get lit until the people in the temple see that last final fire, and that is a signal for them that the scapegoat can no longer be seen, and that is a signal for them that their sins have vanished and their sins have been washed away. And once they get that signal, everybody starts partying in the temple. They start, they start rejoicing. They start rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
They rejoice in the temple because their sins are gone. That scapegoat represents the sins being erased, being removed. The sins are gone. So the people bought it. I'm like, man, I should bought it. Or as it says in the word, rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. A little bit about the scapegoat. And speaking of scapegoats, in the scapegoat family, what do you get when you have two llamas at your door ringing a bell. Two llamas at your door ringing a bell. You get Shama-lama ding-dong. Praise the Lord. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know. I figure two goats, two llamas. That's the way it said it. I figure it's open game. Go ahead. Shama-lama ding-dong. And then, you know, I heard that, so I started singing. Shama-lama-lama ding-dong. Ooh-ma-ma-pa-pa. Ding-dong. So the people in my office, they confirmed that, yes, I am crazy. Hallelujah. Crazy for Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, tonight, the title for tonight's message, as you can see, is Never Stop Growing. And in that title, what I hope comes out and what is on my heart for you all is to connect some dots. Okay? There's some dots that are scattered around our spiritual teaching, our spiritual lives, some dots that have been laid that I pray in the name of Jesus He would reveal to you a picture that God is trying to paint to each and every one of us. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, church family. Well. My. I also believe I heard in my heart and I busted it out. And I do read this. This is part of my devotion. But I busted out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is my 50th birthday gift from my pastors and from my G-son. It is the Founder's Bible, which awesome, absolutely love. A lot of, you know, of course, awesome meat of a word, but then there's also some connecting of the dots with the United States of America, because it shows how the founders of our great nation, it connects those dots, and it puts together a godly country, and God shows you that it is truly one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And he lays it out here in his Father's Bible, a great connecting of the dots. Amen.
Amen.
Well, look at what the Lord has done. He is so good. He is so magnificent. And you all and we all, as the bride of Christ, are so washed clean by God's prophetic word. I mean, this past Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was such a wonderful washing of the word.
Yes.
And I just feel, me personally, I feel, wow, Lord, thank you. Washed by the word, washed by the prophetic word, and just a bride that's getting ready for the groom. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
We all should be getting ready for the groom. And in washing that word, we receive that word, we receive the encouragement. Some of us receive confirmation, validation, and hope for the future. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Love that prophetic word. Thank you, Jesus. So just in a quick review, right? Connecting some dots. On Friday evening, Dr. Judy talked about claim your flame, right? She talked about claim your flame, choose the fire, be the light, right? She talked about the Christmas tree when she was in Austria. And then Prophet Nathan brought it with the word, and he just pounded that orphan spirit.
Amen.
And I pray in the name of Jesus that God pounded the orphan spirit out of you, and you pounded the orphan spirit out of yourself by submitting and receiving that word.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If you did it, call the office, come through, give us a elbow smash, whatever you need, whatever that orphan spirit needs. But truly, that orphan spirit does not need to be part of our lives. That is not how God intended.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Pounded the orphan, I just love saying that. Pounded the orphan spirit. I just imagine that orphan spirit taking the terrible beauty out of my life. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
On Saturday, and I didn't get the notes yet, but Sister Renee keeps on talking about those notes, which I will get soon, honey. Praise the Lord. Don't forget to give me those notes. Thank you, Jesus. The ladies learned about don't drown in shallow water. Hallelujah. And then I started thinking about some examples of that, people not drowning in shallow water. And that was from Dr. Judy, and then Pastor Nett shared about Mary and Martha. You know, and I just love some of her sister-day stories and her sharing about Pastor Nett. Because Pastor Nett, why am I, bro? I don't know if mess around there, you know. I mean, it doesn't get much more straighter than that.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then that evening, Bishop Suwala shared about value, and he shared about striving with God, and how Israel, the translation of Israel, means contends with God. And I was just like, wow, man, that is awesome. So that finished off Saturday evening. Then Sunday morning, Bishop came back, and he shared about contending again, but he shared about contending for others. Right? Contending for others, contending in the faith, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, contending for the lost, and just having a heart for people. And just kind of poured out that love with that same word, contend. Bishop also gave us on Saturday morning, I believe it was, that wonderful declaration that we all read about contending in the faith. Thank you, Jesus. Then, on Sunday evening, Dr. Judy shared about the emptiers and Nahum. You know, whenever I go to one of those books of the Bible that you normally don't go to all the time, like Nahum, I'm like, okay, what's up with that? What are we talking about here? What you got, Lord? And Nahum's one of those that I don't go to too often. And Nahum 2:2, she shared about those emptiers. And she gave us a warning. She gave us, you know, shared with us about people that drain you, and you want to stay away from them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, Prophet Nathan was already ignited because, you know, just the word in Apostle Rocky about bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not his benefit. Boom! Prophet Nathan stood up that night with a big, you know, Prophet Nathan action. You know, God's, you know, you never know what you're going to get with Prophet Nathan. And I mean, I think that's one reason. You never know what you're going to get. Let me restate that. You never know how you're going to get it, but you know what you're going to get for Prophet Nathan is God. But how that's delivered, I mean, praise the Lord. So deliver away, Prophet. Bring it on. So Prophet Nathan, on Sunday night, he shared Psalm 103. And bless the Lord, O my soul. But then he talked a little bit about the 30 benefits that were in Psalm 103. I share all this with you, and I summarize our wonderful prophetic gathering with you because I believe there's some dots that need to be connected. And some things of the Word of God and the prophetic gathering that the Lord put most of us in that paints a wonderful picture of God's love, God's movement, God's care. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of your movement, allowing us to be part of that gathering. Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, pastors, Apostle Rocky, Pastor Bobby, for hearing the Lord and for pressing in no matter what. No matter what. To have that prophetic gathering. Because our pastor's faith is to a level where it doesn't matter what's in the bank account. Right? I mean, in man's eyes, it does matter, and it's important that things need to get done. But the faith level of our pastors, our pastors, is so wonderful that we're still going to get some plane tickets for the guest speakers. We're still going to take care of hotel room. We're still going to give the honorarium or the offering that God has directed that we give.
Amen.
Our lack does not designate God's giving. Just because it's not there doesn't mean we don't stop giving.
Amen.
And that is great, great faith. And you know, Apostle was sharing, well, I'm not going to say it very well because I just got a little hurt. But prophetic gatherings, how God brings it together here, is different from other places. You know? And we are very, very blessed to come to a place to gather as we have and receive the word and the prophetic word like we got it. It is a huge, huge, awesome blessing. Can we give the Lord a good hand clap for that? Thank God. So let's get back here, Pastor Al, and I need to connect some more dots here. Thank you, Jesus, for your prophetic word. In the spirit of prophecy, I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for the new air condition.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It was on the way. We speak it. We believe it. We planted seed towards it. We got faith.
Yes.
And I just want to prophesy in the name of Jesus and thank you for that new air conditioning unit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So tonight we're going to camp out in 2 Peter chapter 1. We are going to camp, put some stakes out in 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you would like to start turning there, that would be helpful. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I just want to share with you about Peter a little bit. And most of you know about Typhus, Peter. Peter was the first disciple called. Peter was actually a disciple of John the Baptist at first, but then Jesus called him. Peter was one of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, the tight circle that Jesus kept close to him for certain situations. And he was one of those inner circle that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then, you know, Peter also kind of has a tendency to open up his big mouth and say, "Oh Lord, shall we build you a booth and build you a booth for Moses and Elijah too?" You know, and you know, Peter kind of got shut down there. Hallelujah! So, okay, just keep quiet, Peter. Man, just watch and see the goodness of God. Peter, even though he was kind of the mouth opening guy, he was also the only one of the 12 that walked on water. I mean, at least brother got out of the boat. At least, brother, I mean, who else walked on water? Jesus walked on water. So did Peter. But, you know, what happened to Peter after seeing some of the circumstances, he began to sink. But he did take some steps. He did do some walking. I mean, you can't, I mean, you got to give brother props. You got to give brother Peter props for that. But then, Peter denied Christ 3 times. You know, I don't even know him. Thank you, Jesus. And then there was the questions that God posed to Peter. Do you love me? And again, Peter gets nailed 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Right? A lot of 3 times things with Paul Peter. Peter rebuked Jesus. What the heck? Hey, bro, I got a good idea. Let's rebuke Jesus. No. You don't rebuke Jesus. And what he was concerned for Jesus, and he you know, Jesus was talking about his passing away and his ascension, and you know, Peter's like, "Oh man, you ain't going nowhere, Jesus, you're not." And maybe Peter was trying to be positive, but he rebuked Jesus, and part of that rebuke Jesus was the old "get thee behind me, Satan." What? That's what you get when you rebuke Jesus. Hallelujah. And maybe a little bit more. Thank you, Lord. Peter was also the first one to go into the tomb after Jesus was buried. Peter was not the first one to get there because John was faster. But he was, when he got there, he saw John. Peter went in. Oh, man. Peter was the first one to go in. Thank you, God, for Peter. Peter ended up becoming a leader of the apostles. And something that you all need to know, that Peter was crucified by Nero, the Emperor Nero, in 66 AD, and he was crucified upside down because he believed he was not worthy to be crucified as Jesus was, right side up. So Peter has a pretty, man, what a resume of a disciple first and then an apostle. He was a disciple first when he was learning, and he became an apostle when Jesus gave them that title as apostles. So actually, 2 Peter was written in 65 AD, 1 year before Peter was killed in 66 AD. So that's kind of interesting, because he's kind of, and Peter's kind of preparing for his death. The Emperor Nero, and they're in Rome, he also killed Paul at about the same time. So Peter and Paul, same time, Emperor Nero, about the same time, Emperor Nero. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. So we're going to camp out there in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to do a little snorkeling tonight, okay? So we're not going to go deep, you know, Sister Renee kind of definition, on the Hebrew, on the Aramaic, on the, you know, way down there, and the study of the Word. But we're going to put on our snorkeling gear a little bit and take a little swim with the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 8, but it's on my heart tonight. I'm going to do the best I can to do a line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We're going to Isaiah 58. So we're going to, I'm going to give you the keynote scripture, and it's going to paint the picture of never stop growing. But then we're going to take it back to the top, and we're going to connect some dots. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This is how I fight my battles. Hallelujah. A little word action. Here we go. 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 I mean, come on, everybody. Pump it up. It is a Wednesday night.
You know,
hallelujah. Power. This is not sleepy service. This is not weed service. This is not wimpy service. This is not retreat service. This is not give up. This is, I almost cursed. This is power service. I really almost said a bad word because I'm motivated. This is power service. I'll tell you about saying a bad word later, but still, we're going to nail this line upon line teaching. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Keynote verse for tonight. For if these qualities are yours, and you are increasing, that means you're growing, they render you neither useless, you're not useless, nor unfaithful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you, and I praise you, and I bless you for this word. I thank you that we are not useless.
Amen.
And I thank you that we are not unfaithful.
Amen.
In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let this word permeate in us and just do a mighty, mighty work as you always do. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And in Jesus' name, we all come and agree and say,
Amen.
Amen. I should have worn my boots so I could have got a bigger boom on the altar on that one. Thank you, Jesus. Because it is power service.
Amen.
Remember that one song? He said, power, Holy Ghost, power, power. You got the power, power. Yeah, come on. Bury your move it. Yes. Pump it up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, while 1 Peter emphasizes suffering, right? The book of 1 Peter. 2 Peter emphasizes God's glory. And that scripture right there is God's glory in you, because we never stop growing. We're always increasing. We are not useless, and we are not unfaithful in Jesus' name according to the Word. Now, it also talks about in that verse for these qualities. So I'm going to back it up a little bit, and we're going to talk about these seven qualities that help us to increase, to not shrink, to not stand still, to not be stagnant like the pond water, but to be ever growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Let's do a little. I'm a safety guy. You got to have your working backup alarm going. I'm a safety guy. Hallelujah. So you don't want to hit anything. 360-degree awareness. Use all your mirrors. Apostle Rocky, CDL driver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's back it up. Let's go to verse 1. Light upon my mind. Here we go. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received the faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the opening and the greeting. And in that opening and greeting, you see that Peter calls himself, Peter wrote it, he calls himself a bondservant. Okay? And that the meaning of bondservant is a little bit different in Rome. It's like you're a dedicated servant. You're not necessarily a slave, but you're a servant to whatever family or whatever person you are in servitude towards. An apostle of Jesus Christ. In that opening, Peter, he knows who he is. He knows his identity. He is not an orphan. I'm a bondservant, man. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. He knows his name. He knows his call. He knows his purpose just by that opening. And we should all know our name, know our call, and know our purpose. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 2, hallelujah. Oh, excuse me. Back in verse 1, the translation for bondservant is doulos, and doulos is someone who is a volunteer to serve others. So, Peter volunteered to serve Jesus. We volunteered to serve Jesus. It's a choice. Our salvation is a choice. Amen? Yeah, thank you for that. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Also know that in this particular book that Peter is addressing the churches of Asia Minor. Churches of Asia Minor. What? Churches of Asia Minor. But yeah. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergia, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Those are the churches that you hear about in the book of Revelation. And they are somewhere in like Middle Asia there, Macedonia, Turkey, Greece, that region over there. Amen? He acknowledges that his righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, his Savior. Okay? So his righteousness is not on his own, but it comes through Jesus Christ, his Savior. Because it says right there in the last part, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 2. Hallelujah. In verse 2, it kicks off with the word knowledge. And that word knowledge is repeated like about 4 or 6 times in this particular chapter. And the knowledge that Peter is speaking about is the knowledge of God. So let's read the verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? So Peter's saying, this is who I am. I'm speaking a blessing into you of peace and grace. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Okay. So here in verse 3 and 4, he invites us to be participants in the promise of God and in God's divine nature. What is God's divine nature? Divine means eternal. His eternal nature. So Peter says, come on, everybody. You guys are believers. What is God's divine, eternal nature? So he's about to expound on that. And it says in verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and God, or excuse me, life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Okay, so once again, we hear the word knowledge. And his knowledge of God, and he's reminding us that we're called. Amen, everybody? Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord!
Thank you, everybody. In verse 4, it says, by these, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers in the divine nature, again talking about divine eternal nature of God, having escaped the corruption of this world by its lust. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When we have that divine nature, we escape the nature of the world and the lust of the flesh, lust of the world, pride of life, the things that lead to death and destruction. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
So again, he's invited us to be participants here in verses 3 and 4. Now, here's kind of the meat of what Peter's trying to say, I believe. And it is in verses 5 through 9. So, how do we get that divine nature? How do we get that eternal godliness that Peter is talking about? So in verses 5 through 9, there are some attributes of God that he's going to talk about. So what does that mean? What does attributes of God mean? Simply, it is that we live a godly life and act as Jesus acted. Not what will Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? Okay? So like a son sees a father, you know, if a father's beating on his wife, a son's going to beat on his wife. If a father lives a godly life, the son who observes that is going to live a godly life. So us, as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, we are going to look at what did Jesus do, and we are going to do that. That is living a godly, eternal life. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
And we know what Jesus did because we've got a wonderful, awesome Bible. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Basic instructions before leaving earth that tells us about Jesus. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. Okay. So let's get to the meat of those godly attributes. In verses 5 through 9. Hallelujah, everybody. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here we go. Verse 5. It says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, hey, there's a little joy button name of diligence here someway. Applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, or in verse 6, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. So we're going to go over all those attributes, but one thing that you should know, it's topped off and it's crowned with love. Because there is none greater than these. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest. We're going to look at all these attributes. Love is the greatest because God is
love.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your participation. It is power service. Let's go to verse, and verse 8 is our keynote scripture, which says we got to keep growing, never stop growing, for these qualities in yours are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and he who lacks these qualities is blind. He who lacks these qualities is what?
Blind.
He who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted. Yikes. Having forgotten the perfection from his former sins. So when you live in these qualities, when you live a godly life, you get perfected. You get made better. And see how these are all connected, right? It goes from it goes from goodness to knowledge to self-control to perseverance to godliness. But it ends in brotherly kindness, is the last one, topped off and crowned with love. Okay? Goodness is moral excellence. Goodness is value. So be good. You know, it's like be a good boy. Knowledge is knowing. You can have faith that God loves you. And you should have faith that God loves you. You can believe that God loves you. But when you know, you just know. I know. And it's not a problem. I know, but I don't know. But it's, Lord, I know that God loves me. I know that He loves me because His Word says He loves me. I know that He loves me because I'm still alive. I know that He loves me because He has blessed me so much. I don't even deserve to be blessed, but He blesses me anyway. That is love. I know that He loves me because He speaks to me. He speaks to my heart. I know that He loves me because He doesn't give up on me. I know that He loves me because He cares for me. He cares for my family. He cares for my well-being. I know that He loves me because He teaches me. I know that He loves me because He will never leave me nor forsake me. And when you get to the point of knowing certain things, the devil can't touch you. You cannot be touched because you know already. The devil can do whatever to you. He can speak lies to you. God don't love you. No. I know He loves you.
Amen.
God doesn't care about you. No. I know He cares about you.
Amen.
Look at my servant Job. Job knew. Now you can say Job had faith, or you can say Job believed. But when all that stuff that Job went through and all those guys pounding on, those three guys and the other guy pounding on him, I think that Job knew that God loved him. And God knew that Job knew. Because God said, hey, look at my servant Job. He knows. He gets it. And if you have a relationship with God for any period of time, you got to move to that knowing and you got to move to that knowledge. Just like it says right here in this word. Just know it already. Just know it. I know it. I am firm in my mouth. It is not going to change. I'm on the rock, man. I know I'm on this rock. I am saved. I know I'm saved. You ain't stealing it away from me, devil. You ain't lying to me. I'm saved. It is done. I have Jesus Christ in my heart. I know He's in my heart. I know also sometimes I don't act like He's in my heart. But I also know He forgives me and I give right back to Him. And He's given me the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that I can give right back to my Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. So you get all those attributes that we should live and God has given us. So we never stop growing in verse 8. In verse 9, we see the light of life. If you catch that vision, we are free from sin and grafted in and connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, let's go to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent and make certain about the calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Did everybody get that? As long as you practice these things, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, crowned with love, as long as you practice those things, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. I'll stumble sometimes, though. You'll never stumble. Oh, I'll stumble when I get distracted. No. You will never stumble.
Come on, man.
Because it says it in His Word right there.
Man.
But it's up to us, as it says in His Word, to practice these things. It's up to us to know our calling as sons and daughters of the Most High God and to choose to follow Him. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody getting that?
Hallelujah.
Let us blaze through verses 11 through 21. In chapter verse 11, it says, for in the way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And then in verse 12, it says, Therefore, and it just, if you look on verses 12 to right around 15, Peter's starting to, he's starting to say, my time is coming. Okay, I'm getting ready to go, but I want to coach you, and I'm going to constantly remind you how blessed you are and how redeemed you are and what a wonderful life you have. And here's what Peter says. He says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know. Even though you already know them and have been established in the faith which is present in you. I consider it right, as long as I am in the earthly dwelling, to stir you up by the way of reminder. So Peter is reminding these churches, hey, you've got to live these attributes. You've got to live like Jesus lived so that you can shake things off. You've got to practice them. So he's reminding these churches those things, and he's reminding us tonight. Verse 14, knowing that the line aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, so eventually I'm going to pass. As also our Lord Jesus Christ was made clear to me. Verse 15. And I will also be diligent, there's that word again, diligence, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. So Peter is teaching them, and Peter's leaving a legacy. Peter is making a difference. When Peter passes, these churches are going to have this teaching and have these reminders to live by. Even though Peter's life here on earth is going to finish and he's going to go to his eternal life, his effect and the difference that he has made on these churches, it ain't stopping, because he was on them and they got it. Jesus left this earth, but Jesus left us a legacy.
Amen.
We are going to leave this earth. What kind of legacy are we leaving? What kind of teachings are we leaving behind? Are we teaching goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance? Perseverance, that's that never give up. Pit bull on a pork chop, never quit. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is love of family. And do we crown our actions with love? Look at your neighbor and say, never stop growing.
Never stop growing.
Look at your other neighbor and say, never stop growing.
Never stop growing.
Look back to the first neighbor and say, finish strong.
Finish strong.
That's what Peter was doing. He was finishing strong. He was feeling that his time on earth here was coming to an end. But he's on these guys and reminding them and teaching them by finishing strong. In verses 16 and 17, Peter's doing some housekeeping. And we'll do the housekeeping also. But basically, some people in the area that he was with, they may have been people in the church, I'm not sure who it was, but there was accusers who said that these apostles, they're just making this stuff up about Jesus. They're not telling the truth. Jesus is just a man. Jesus is fake news. Well, Peter's here to tell him Jesus is not fake news. And here's what it says in verse 16. Well, we did not follow cleverly devised tales. We didn't follow lies. When we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I could tell you because I saw it. I could tell you because I saw him walk on water. I saw the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw it. I'm an eyewitness.
Amen.
We are eyewitnesses. We are witnesses in the name of Jesus. Verse 17 says, and when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as it was made him by the majesty, by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Peter was there. He was there with John. And he heard it at the Jordan when the heavens opened. And God says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Peter was there with John and James on the Mount of Transfiguration when God said, not Jesus, but the heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Peter heard the voice of God the Father himself. And he's witness to that. So all this fake news that you're trying to put on us, it ain't fake. And I'm telling you the truth. So Peter, set them straight in the name of Jesus. Now here's where we connect some dots. And here's where Peter really hits it out of the park. And here's something that we just participated in on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And that something is prophecy. So in these last three verses, he was about to validate and confirm and remind these churches and these people who are saying false news about Jesus, and he's about to set them straight with prophecy. And that's why these prophetic gatherings are so important, because they set things straight. They confirm things. They validate things. They encourage the body of Christ. Peter's trying to encourage these seven churches. God was trying to encourage you in these past 3 days. So let's connect the dots here and never stop growing as individuals in Christ and never stop growing as a body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Light up our mind, baby. Let's go. Call a service. What about the first word? Maybe I could do it. That's the Winged Arrow joint for racquetball club. And he's playing racquetball with these guys. And these guys don't know that Pastor Wayne is a pastor. So he's playing racquetball with them, playing racquetball, and he's like, these guys have these terrible mouths. I mean, everything that's coming out of their mouths, is just, they're cursing while they're playing racquetball. And Pastor Wayne, you know, he doesn't curse, and he's maintaining his composure and everything. And he's playing with these guys for months and months, and time is going off. So one day, Pastor Wayne is in there playing racquetball with his big local blow-up. Sure enough, the big local blow-up smashes one into Pastor Wayne's back. And when he gets smacked with this racquetball, which I can attest to, and so can kickball, it hurts a lot. And it's a very stinging, sharp pain. It hurts immensely. The first thing that Pastor Wayne starts thinking about is all these curse words that these guys have been saying all these months. So he's ready to buckle loose. But he ends up not buckling loose and says, wow, that hurt. And he's biting his lip, not saying anything. So he ends up talking to this big local guy. And the big local guy says, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but I was waiting to see what you was going to do. He's like, what? Waiting to see what I was going to do. He's like, yeah, I've been watching you on TV for the past 3 months, and I know you on Fast Talk. I was waiting to see if you was going to curse. If it can't be tested, it can't be trusted. Pastor Wayne never cursed. He could be trusted. God could trust him. Consider my servant Wayne. At Pastor Wayne never cursed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's that. Tell me, beautiful, man. That's that self-control. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Like when I wanted to say a bad word, power service, but I never. Self-control. I can be trusted. But I'm also honest in telling you that I struggle with that a little bit. But the truth is, thank you, Jesus, self-control.
Hallelujah.
Doing the seven attributes. Hallelujah. Let's wrap it up and hit it out of the park with Peter, where he says in verse 19, so we have the prophetic word. So we have the prophetic word. So we have the prophetic word. There are churches out there, good Bible preaching, believing churches, that do not have the prophetic word alive. They have the prophetic word in what was, but it's not active as God has blessed this house to be active and blessed by the prophetic word.
Amen.
Churches don't have prophetic gatherings. This house has a prophetic gathering. The leader of the apostles, Peter, is saying to the churches, so you have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention.
Amen.
As to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation.
Amen.
For no prophecy was ever made by act of human will, but by men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Peter witnessed this. Peter is teaching this. We witnessed it. Peter taught it. Prophecies that have come to pass, not just by the Word of God, but active and alive in this house, through the Spirit of God, through them, just like it says in His Word. This is incredible. And because of this teaching that we've gotten from Peter, because of this teaching that we received on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it sure would be a shame to let that momentum fall, to let that teaching be put to the side. Dr. Judy started it. What flame? Choose your flame. Carry that flame. Light be the light. That was the initial message that we got. Hide it under a bushel. No. We need to carry these things as witnesses, as Peter was a witness. To the world. Not just to our families, but to the world. What we have witnessed in this house, what God has given us, what is witnessed in and through the Word is wonderful. It is magnificent. It is eternal. And if we do those things, if we practice being godly, persevering, loving our families, living as God lived, what did Jesus do? Living that godly life. We will never stumble. We will never be unfaithful. We will never be lost. We've got the tools, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the tools, brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got the spark. Let us remember what we have learned. Let us remember more what we have seen. But more importantly, let's do as Jesus did. Never stop growing. Always growing in the knowledge, knowing who Jesus is, what He did, how we should act, our knowledge in Him should always be growing and just getting better and better all the time. And that's the message for tonight. Never stop growing. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you have never received Jesus Christ before as your personal Lord and Savior, the time is now and the place is here. This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. It's not about joining a church or an organization. It's not about some ritual. It is about a simple relationship and a decision that you make tonight to say this prayer and receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You see, eternal life is granted. And you're going to live forever. The only question is, where are you going to live it? If you do not receive Jesus, you stand a chance of going to hell and living eternity in hell. If you do receive Jesus, I know you will live in heaven and have life everlasting. So if you would like to make that choice tonight, please repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
Lord
Forgive me of my sin. I turn from my sin. I turn towards you. I receive you into my heart now. As my personal Lord and Savior. Come into me. Indwell me. That I may never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, you are in the family of God. Feel free to call the office if you need information or you want to get hooked up with a Bible believing preaching church. You are more than welcome to join us here if you would like, or we'll help you find a church. We'll help. This church will help, because that's what we do. If you would like to give and be part of this movement and be part of the new air condition, hallelujah. And be part of the great things that God seeds into, whether it's American Red Cross, Malala Pregnancy, Disabled Veterans, feeding the homeless through Feed My Sheep or whatever organization. WordOfTruthMaui.org is where you go, and you can get information there on our wonderful website so that you can view it. Thank you for joining us tonight. God bless you, and I'm going to release us just to take our time off. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.